What is the culture game? Daniel Mezick suggests it's a game we can win by introducing continuous training into our organizational culture. He believes, as a consequence of the current rapid pace of change, that organizations that learn fast can outflank their competitors. He states that teams that learn quickly are more adaptive, and adaptability creates better results by helping us respond to change. How can we engage in this culture game? Mezick suggests we can benefit from a close study of software development and engage the agile practices of Scrum framework used in that industry. Join us for the next 10 minutes or so as we take a look at his book, The Culture Game: Tools for the Agile Manager, and discover how transforming culture can transform our businesses. Agile 101. So what are agile practices? What have software developers been hiding? Mezick suggests that agile practices enhance, encourage, and help support genuine team learning. Using Agile, software houses have been able to rapidly and successfully bring software to bear on every facet of life, all while making sure they understand and incorporate customer feedback. As a result, there's a big demand to apply Agile techniques to non-technology domains like sales, marketing, finance, and even leadership. The challenge is to take small team learning behaviors and scale them up for larger organizations. But it's easier said than done. For typical organizations, scaling agile learning practices to enterprise level is a non-starter. Why? The primary reason is that successful agile teams operate in a safe space, a social space where it is safe to take interpersonal risk. Safe space is essential for group level learning where people can interact in a non-threatening way. The problem is that creating an enterprise-wide safe space is a very non-trivial problem. To build agile practices requires you to adopt appropriate frameworks which encourage group participation. Scrum is such a framework, and it consists of five elements. Element 1. Respect. Respect secures peer-to-peer appreciation and mutual understanding. Without respect, there is no meaningful positive communication. Element 2. Commitment. Commitment is the act of tying ourselves to a course of action. If we cannot commit, we cannot act. Element number 3. Focus. Focus is the concentration of attention to a purpose. If we cannot focus, we are not paying attention in a meaningful way. Element 4. Courage. Courage is the spirit to look reality in the eye. When there is no courage, teams often feel it's unsafe to describe reality honestly in the workplace. Element 4. Openness. Openness is all about secret avoidance. No secrets, no surprises. Tribal learning is what Mezick calls the social learning practice that supports the culture game. It involves learning not just about the work, but also about the people doing the work. In his book, Mezick describes 16 activities we can adopt to engage in the culture game and apply agile processes. In this week's Read It For Me summary, we've picked out 6 that we think will really set you on your way. Practice number 1. Be purposeful. As Mezick points out, it's easy for us to maintain focus when we have a clear purpose. A defined purpose is a fundamental part of being agile. We need to commit to our purpose and ensure everyone else knows what the scope is. This gives us a benchmark for reality. Against this benchmark, we can create goals and objectives, set values and principles, and define the actions to take. All of this ties in with your team's needs and a personal sense of belonging. A well-defined purpose contributes to the creation of a safe space. In Japanese, such a space would be called the ba, not just a physical place, but also a social and psychological space. Where work is complex and challenging, purpose provides clarity. Clarity enables us to identify gaps between the current reality and the future we want to create, and helps identify the tasks we need to carry out. Tasks and actions aligned with purpose become meaningful work, and when our efforts create results, we feel a sense of progress. So how do we establish purpose? Here's Mezick's advice. Ask. Use all available forms of communication to solicit feedback and ideas on what the purpose of the group is. Listen. Don't drive the discussion. Instead, create the space to enable it to happen. Meet. Hold some meetings and make sure we have a facilitator. Keep it light. Exploring a clearly defined purpose can trigger strong emotions, even potentially negative emotions that express frustration with the organization. Play games. When meeting around developing a sense of purpose, play some games to help generate ideas, movement, and agreement. Keep it short and get it done. Enough said. Practice number 2. Facilitate your meetings. Mezik advises us that facilitated meetings are more focused, more organized, and more constructive. When attendees' goals and boundaries are defined, meetings can be truly successful. But the challenge is, if we call a meeting, how can we separate meeting management from participation? Enter the facilitator. In facilitated meetings, we, the convener, are able to participate more fully and observe without the additional responsibility of running the meeting. Facilitators are there to keep meetings flowing and to end on time. We can use facilitators to stay organized, complete meeting agendas, and learn faster as a group. Using facilitators allows us to gain group focus and take the benefits to the organization as a whole. A facilitator can encourage progress and avoid an early end to keep the discussions open for inquiry. And when the time is right for the group to decide, the facilitator can assist in reaching a conclusion. So who should be the facilitator? A good practice is to have a person from outside our group facilitate the meeting. Later, you can return the favor and send over one of your team to facilitate the meetings, increasing collaboration across departments. So how do we set up facilitated meetings? Here are Mezik's thoughts. Socialize the idea of facilitated meetings. Simulate discussion. Identify a facilitator. Listen and watch carefully for people who willingly opt in to try facilitation. Experiment and inspect. Experiment by convening a facilitated meeting. What benefits did it bring? Is there a better sense of progress? Practice number 3. Examine your norms. Mezik suggests that the activities that we do together as a group matter a great deal. How we handle communication, brainstorming, meetings, email, and other interactions matter. Positive interactions support alignment with our purpose, values, principles, and goals. Ambiguous goals, fuzzy rules, and lack of feedback can work against our interests. When our group changes habits to increase alignment with purpose and values, it's easy to do what's familiar. Old habits die hard. Mezik says we must constantly examine our norms to make sure they remain in line with our wider purposes and values. We need to look at everything. This involves recognizing the need to improve. Some of this discussion may be interpreted as being personal. That's why the safe space is so important. It shields us from getting too emotional about our old habits. So how do we start to examine our norms? Identify. Identify an inspection point. Create opportunities to inspect what is going on. Groupthink. Perform the inspection as a group. Contextualize. Engage in dialogue about the stories behind the norms. Brainstorm and choose. Brainstorm alternatives and choose a set of candidate changes. Narrow down the discussion of changes to 3 or 4 ideas. Finally, pick and progress. Pick one and agree, then monitor participation. After the decision, everyone will theoretically have made a commitment to the new norm. Make sure they follow through and reaffirm their commitment if needed. Practice 4. Game your meetings. As we've discussed in previous reviews, meetings are a major source of waste. Meetings can suck your energy when attendance is not optional, when the goal and rules are fuzzy, and when there's no way to gauge progress. Mezik tells us to make meetings fun, enjoyable, and engaging by gaming them. Not a game, as in play, but a game where there is structure, clarity, and a set of rules to follow. By establishing a clear goal, a clear set of rules, and a clear way to receive feedback, every meeting will become more enjoyable and effective. When a meeting is set up as a good game, each participant can locate themselves within the flow of the game and enjoy the experience. Here are a few pointers from Mezik. Have only one conversation. Try to establish the rule that when one person talks, everyone else listens. Forbid side conversations and over-talking. Make meetings manageable. If we always have marathon meetings, we need to ask, why are they so? Why is this the norm? Can we break meetings up into smaller meetings? Long meetings are a drag. We need to game our meetings by making them short and adding clearly defined breaks for longer meetings so people can pace themselves. Provide feedback on how the meeting is progressing. This can be a task board or a set of agenda items with empty checkboxes. Anything that visibly indicates progress. Practice number 5. Manage your boundaries. Mezik tells us to be mindful of boundaries. Fuzzy boundaries require constant negotiation. Clear boundaries do not. Agreed upon boundaries create containment. Fuzzy boundaries tend to favor people who have negotiation skills. We need to focus on boundaries expressed in time, expressed as tasks, and expressed as physical territory. When in a development mode, we should loosen boundaries to encourage discussion and dialogue. When seeking agreement, we should tighten boundaries for tight definitions. In summary, without boundary management, everything is up for negotiation. When good boundary management is in play, all energy can be focused on the work. Practice 6. Socialize books. It wouldn't be fair for us to reaffirm our commitment to learning from books, and Mezick supports this belief. He suggests we shape, confirm, and validate our culture by making books widely available. By doing this for our tribe, we make a high-impact statement about our culture and commitment to collective learning. He tells us to use the active socialization of books to signal what we value. By making books available, we state that our organization values learning. Such a statement supports the development of a tribal learning culture and can be used as a focal point for socializing. We can develop opportunities for face-to-face meetings, reading circles, and discussion groups around the books. In turn, the people that actively participate are signaling their own willingness to commit themselves to the new culture, tribal learning. And there you have it, everything you need to get started creating an agile culture in your business.